The practice of Mahamudra is divided into two broad sections. The first is shamatha, and the second is vipassana, or vipassana. So the point of the first practice that we did was to just arrive at stillness. And so, however, if you have a familiar practice that you can recognize stillness in. So breath meditation can help do that because it's non-conceptual when you're focused on tactile sensations of the breath. Or as we practiced with the very first practice that we did a month ago out of this Mahamudra Shamatha series, is taking a visual object as your focal support. And the point of that basically is that as long as you are engaged with one of the five sense fields, your mind will be resting in a non-conceptual state. And then that's very helpful to in your own practice and getting to this, in the flow of this practice, first of all, to just get to the non-conceptual state. And then you rest in the stillness where there's really no focal support at all. Either what you're left with is, basically inquiring what is left when there are no appearances. So the question then that we're going to examine in this session is, when you are resting in this stillness, is it a nothingness? Is it a zero, a void, an absolute vacuity? Is that what stillness means? That you basically become unconscious. You enter substrate and there is an absolute lack of awareness. So is that what it is? This is what we really need to inquire about. And the reason that both of these practices are so important, of shamatha and vipassana, is that shamatha is very important for developing what Lama Allen calls the contemplative technology. So you're really, as you're doing even breath meditation, focusing on tactile sensations or any other object, and you're working with attention, you're really beginning to, with intention, voluntarily narrow the focus of your attention, and you're excluding everything else. So it's very helpful to in these practices of when you're working with attention, you're excluding everything else, and so you're basically resting in a non-conceptual state of that. But when what's left, even when we eliminate the focal supports, do we then become unconscious? So that is what we are going to be examining here. And vipassana is so important because, as Dujam Lingpa pointed out in Essence of Clear Meaning, if you achieve shamatha and that's all you do, you won't have advanced one hair's breadth towards liberation. So you need the contemplative technology, but then you need to use the technology to do the contemplative science, and that's vipassana practice. And we do the vipassana practice by asking questions. So as we are observing with the skills of close observation that we're developing with shamatha, we then ask questions about the nature of what it is that we are examining with this very finely developed skill of attention. And so in this case then, we are taking as our object of examination the mind that is resting in stillness. So this is what you would do when you achieve shamatha. You could call it the stage development of shamatha, when you're really resting in that 4 hours of samadhi, then you can really examine what is the nature of that mind. But you don't have to wait that long to do that, because we all, I hope as you are becoming familiar with in this approach of Mahamudra, you can all become aware of stillness as this momentary experience and stringing together moments of stillness. And you can also find stillness of the mind in gaps between thoughts. And so you basically are just accumulating experience as you're doing this approach to shamatha and becoming more and more familiar with what is this experience of stillness, because for most of us, it's quite a foreign experience because our minds are always so constantly stimulated and in movement. So we seek out these moments of stillness and we cultivate the stillness. And then the point is to examine what is the nature of this stillness. And Trangu Rinpoche pointed out very emphatically in his commentary on pointing out the Dharmakaya that when we're looking at something, so when we're looking at the nature of the mind or looking at the mind in stillness, what we are doing is observing directly. And so this is a very different experience than doing analysis. And when we're in really investigating the nature of the mind in Mahamudra and Dzogchen, it's very different than analytical meditation of other approaches of the sutra approach of Buddhism. So we're really just looking at first of all, finding this mind of stillness, and then examining it with a series of questions. And this is so different than a conceptual approach to Vipassana of the other systems. And the reason that, so first of all, what we need to do is to really come to grips with what is the nature of this mind in stillness. And if we can really fathom the nature of the mind in stillness, and then what we're going to be doing as we progress through the afternoon is come to become familiar again with other practices of knowing the mind in movement and then examine the nature of the mind in movement. And then we are, by the end of, close to the end of the day, we will be examining and comparing the nature of the mind in stillness and the nature of the mind in movement. How are they the same and how are they different? And really begin to become familiar with our mental experience in that way. And the point of it really examining the nature of the mind in Dzogchen and Mahamudra is that the mind is primary in what Dujom Lingpa calls the all-creating sovereign. And so the point is that if you discover with firsthand experience the nature of the mind and discover it to be luminous and empty, that it is insubstantial, that when you look for substantial qualities of this mind that is still, and we'll go through this as I guide you through a series of questions in the meditation, if you can discover that the mind, the all-creating sovereign, is insubstantial, then it's very easy to see directly that everything that the mind creates, all of the, not only the internal appearances of thoughts, images, memories, etc., all of those must be empty and insubstantial as well. But if you can also come to realize that all of the external appearances, or you could say appearances of so-called external objects, which the mind is created and appear in the mind, if the mind is empty, the mind both in movement and the mind in stillness, then everything it produces must be empty as well. So everything then just becomes much more insubstantial. Your experience of reality becomes insubstantial. And that is the point that the reason that Dzogchen and Mahamudra go right for the nature of mind directly rather than a more indirect approach of first looking at I, for instance, in the sutra approach of the Shravakas. Can I find I in the mind and the body? Well, what we're here in this approach doing is going right for mind. And by looking directly and observing the mind directly as it is in stillness, then if we can draw some conclusions based on our direct experience, that has the power to truly transform our experience of not only our minds, but of the world that is perceived by the mind as well. All of these practices of Dzogchen and Mahamudra, both shamatha and vipassana, require and are really founded on this first preliminary of deep relaxation. So relax more and more deeply with each exhalation. And find the first balance point of shamatha, of maintaining the clarity that you begin your meditation with while you continue to deepen your relaxation with each exhalation. And then settle the speech in its natural state of effortless silence. And then settle the mind in its natural state. Settle into the simplicity of the present moment. Fresh, uncontrived, non-conceptual. In the absence of conceptual movement, the mind is still, like an ocean unmoved by waves. Yangtang Rinpoche's pith instructions on vipassana, focused on the nature of the mind, are these words. He said, "With the cessation of thoughts, you rest with no object, but examine very closely this mind that remains in the absence of thoughts." So in the present moment, simply know this stillness of the mind when it is unmoved by thought. And observe it directly. What do you see? What do you observe? Without expectations of what you should see. The most basic question to ask as you are looking directly at this mind in stillness is, does it have a form? It's so easy to answer the question conceptually, intellectually. But the direct experience can be liberating. we're examining whether this mind that is still has any substantial characteristics. So does it have a shape or a color? As you are examining it directly, does it have any characteristics whatsoever that indicate a substantial existence? Does it have a location? This mind of stillness, resting in non-conceptuality. If this mind is substantial, it must have come from somewhere. Our minds are not always still. So when stillness arrives as our experience, where does it come from? Was it nothing, nowhere, before it became something here? If this mind is really substantial in the way that material things are substantial, it must have started. So where did it come from? If it is substantial, where is it located right now? Your experience as you are watching this stillness of mind, where is that stillness located? Is there a place where it is still? Is it inside the skull? Is it outside of you, in front of you? Some other part of the body? Does this still awareness have any location that you can point to? And where does this stillness go? We all know that our minds are not still forever. What is the nature of this mind that is still? Does this mind have any substantial characteristics at all? Or when you look for substantial characteristics, the things that identify all material things, mass, location, characteristics that we know them by and can discuss them, if we can't find any of those, are we left to conclude that there's nothing? When you have this experience of stillness, the mind that is still, if it is insubstantial, does that mean that there is nothing there whatsoever, no experience? This is the pith instruction on doing this type of Mahamudra Vipassana from Kacho Wangpo. Place your present mind vividly in single-pointedness. Observe the nature of that which is placed. How does it exist? If you think it does not exist at all, who is it that apprehends this absence? Is that a realization of your own mind or not? And if you think, when I look for it, it does not appear, observe that thinker. And also observe the observer. If nothing can be observed while you're resting in stillness, does that mean that there is no mind whatsoever? When you are resting in this non-conceptual state, all appearances quelled in stillness, what is it that you are left with? The indubitable fact that awareness is. This awareness seems to be absent, empty of substantial characteristics. But still, it is something, not nothing. It is this clear knowing, present moment, knowing that awareness is. The instruction is to keep searching diligently over and over, accumulate experience, until you either find a substantial mind or you simply come to know that a substantial mind is not to be found. And the experience of that insubstantiality that absence you may experience as an openness, an expansiveness like space with no object. Knowing itself to be aware. And simply rest in that present moment. The gap. Non-conceptual, loose, fresh and uncontrived. Observe the nature of this mind in stillness. And rest in what you discover. The emptiness of substantiality. The absence of any substantial characteristics. And the luminous radiance of the mind and its knowing capacity. Rest in that non-dual luminosity and emptiness.